2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 14. We'll get there in just a minute. This morning, we're going to continue on in our series titled, Win the Day. And during the last 5 weeks, we've talked about five different subjects, five different areas of our life, five new thought processes, five new habits that will help change your life story. We talked about flipping the script. Stop seeing everything through the lens of your old life. Focus on who you are in Jesus Christ now. Kiss the wave. Face your obstacles without fear, bringing them out into the open. Eat the frog. Make the decision to consecrate yourself to God daily, that it'll be the hardest thing that you do that day. Fly the kite. Don't despise small beginnings. You have to start somewhere and sometime. And cut the rope. You're going to have to take a step of faith and cut the rope on those things that are holding you back from going further with God. This morning we're going to continue on in our series with a message entitled, It's Time to Wind the Clock. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 14, the King James Version reads, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of all of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they were willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There are many things that we could unpack from this passage of Scripture. But this morning, the key truth I want to point out here is that God is not constrained or bound by our understanding of time. Man sees time against time, but God sees time against eternity. God is above time, for his timeline has no beginning or end compared to man's, which has both in this physical realm we live in. As we read these verses, it becomes clear that there is no relationship between what we think of as time and the schedule that God operates under. It doesn't mean that days in heaven last 1,000 years, but by using a small number and a large number, Peter set up a contrast to warn us against any attempt to concoct or formulate timetables for the second coming of Jesus. Amen. Divine timetables for other things that God has promised in his word. Amen. I mean, I don't know how many of you remember, there was a guy, I think it was 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 88. Jesus didn't come back in 19. So then he wrote another book in 89. 89 reasons Jesus is coming back in 1989. And people still bought the book. You can't figure timelines out. You can have some generalities, but God doesn't operate under our time scale. He doesn't use our time scale. I mean, we have a view of time that's totally different from God. F.B. Meyer wrote this. He said, "There is no succession of time with God. There's no past, no future. He dwells in the eternal present as I am." Think about that. If you really think about that long and hard, that'll just blow your little pea-picking mind. Amen? God isn't in, he doesn't dwell in the past. He doesn't dwell in the future. God is I am. He's always present. Amen? He goes on to say, he could do in a single day if he chose what at other times has taken 1,000 years to accomplish. Do not say that he will require so long to do this or that, to restore or convert the Jews, to introduce the millennial age, to undo the effects of the curse, and fill the years with blessings. Do not say that he must have as long to make the second heavens as the and earth as the first. Do not say that the overthrow of the empire of darkness and the conversion of multitudes to God can only be achieved by the processes which are now in vogue. All this could be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I like this last sentence here. And between sunrise and sunset, God could affect the work of 1,000 ordinary years. Wow. That's the God that we serve. We put God in a box that he only operates on this timetable. Well, the end times, well, it's going to take the Jews, they've got to rebuild the temple, and it's going to take all that time to rebuild the temple. God could do it just like that. Amen? God's not bound by our perception of time. For us, the arrow of time moves in one direction, and that's forward. The thing is, so many people are trapped by their past that they fail to live in the present and they end up robbing themselves of a future. People have lived that way since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Jeremiah chapter 29, look at that. Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God sees everything before it ever happens. Amen? In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works prepared beforehand." Amen? We live at the intersection of three different realities. The faithfulness of God is pursuing us from the past. The goodness of God abides with us in the present. And the hope of God is setting us up for the future. With God, He's just present in all of them. Amen? We get so wrapped up in times and schedules and obligations that we tend to lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight of what's important. We get tunnel vision when it comes to our use and management of time. How many of you have went through those weeks where you're just checking things off of your calendar? And church is one of them. Don't raise your hand. Amen? It's just checking off. Oh, I got that done. Check, check, check. And you get to the end of the week, and all you've done is check things off. Many years ago, Dr. Tony Campolo was teaching a class at the University of Pennsylvania when he turned an ordinary lecture into an unforgettable lesson. He asked a student sitting on the front row, "Young man, how long have you lived?" The unsuspecting student answered his age. "No, no, no," said Tony Campolo. "That's how long your heart has been pumping blood. That's not how long you've lived." That's when Tony Campolo told the class a story about one of the most memorable moments of his life. In 1944, his fourth grade class took a trip to the top of the Empire State Building. It was the tallest building in the world at the time. When 9-year-old Tony got off the elevator and stepped out on the observation deck overlooking New York City, time stood still. "If I live a million years," said Tony Campolo, "that moment will still be a part of my consciousness because I was fully alive when I lived it." Tony turned back to the same student and said, "Now let me ask you a question again. How long have you lived?" "When you say it that way," the student said, "maybe an hour, maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes." This morning, I want to ask you a question. Two questions. One, how old are you? And two, how long have you lived? It's easy calculating age. It's much more difficult quantifying those life experiences. Time is measured in minutes, but life is measured in moments. What are those Empire State Building moments for you? When was the last time that time stood still? And you had to wind the clock because everything around you stopped. It seemed as if time itself stopped. When you had a wow moment. Amen? And if you turn those moments into minutes, how long have you lived? We have those moments all the time and we fail to recognize them. We need to learn to enjoy the moment. Enjoy those life moments. Enjoy your spouse moments. Enjoy your children moments. Enjoy your church moments. But most importantly, you need to learn to enjoy and bask in those God moments. Those moments where God is so real to you, God is so close to you. Amen? I remember one time, and I've shared this, I was probably in my early 30s, and we took our family to the beach. It was the first time I was in my probably 32, 33. Never been to the beach, never seen the ocean. And I still remember that day, just like he remembered that Empire State Building, when we got to the beach and I couldn't wait to see the beach. Some of you may have been going to the beach since you were kids. No big deal. To me, it was a big deal. And I went out there and I went at the house we were staying at and I walked out and I walked up the steps and I walked out the deck out to the sand dunes and there it was. And I had one of those moments just with me and God. And it was like he was just pouring into me how spectacular and how awesome his power is and that he created that and it works and it was just all these things were just boom, boom, boom. I can't even tell you everything that happened, but I can still remember that moment. I could probably take you back to Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. I could probably still drive you to that house. I haven't been there for years and go out to the beach to that place. It was just one of those times where God was so real to me. It was just one of them, oh, wow. Amen? We need to have those God moments in our life. You know, We need to enjoy those things, because if we don't, life is going to pass us by quickly. How many of us recognize that? I mean, you look at your birthday and you're like, how in the world did I get to be that old? Amen? Happy birthday, by the way, Clint. Your life doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything in order and achieved all your goals. It's not about being successful and having all the money you need. It's about seizing those moments, seizing those days. Amen? You know, there's a difference between living and just existing. Amen. Yes. Living has been defined as vigorous, alive, and full of life. Existing is defined as to have being, to just being there. How many of us are just there sometimes? You feel like you're just existing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. The King James Version reads, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The word redeeming here is the Greek word exo. It's E-X-A-G-O-R-A-D-Z-O. Exoradzo. It means to buy up, to rescue from loss, to improve opportunity. The Amplified Version reads, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as a wise, sensible, intelligent person, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil." It's important that we use time and that we use it wisely and we don't waste it. We need to make sure our time's being used correctly. Because if we don't manage our time, we're going to miss out on those times that are really important. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We've got a great example of someone missing out on a wow moment. Missing out on one of those life moments. Those moments where they're truly living. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall be not taken away from her.'" Here we have the story about Jesus visiting Martha and Mary's home and Lazarus's home. And here it is. Jesus is sitting in her living room, so to speak. And the Word of God says that the King James says she's cumbered. It means to draw away or to distract. She's distracted by other things. She's so preoccupied with what she's doing that she didn't even recognize that the Son of the Living God, her Savior and Lord, was sitting in her living room. She had the opportunity to fellowship with God and experience a God moment that she didn't take it. She didn't seize it. You know, we make the same mistake each and every day. We get so caught up in the here and now that we fail to realize that God is within us. That His presence and spending time at His feet, at His presence, is what is the most important thing. You know, you can be busy doing things for God and miss out spending time with God. Yes. Amen. As a pastor, I got to guard that. Always doing things, doing here, doing there, working on the room downstairs, doing this, ordering things, preparing sermons, doing all that. I got to spend time with God just like everybody else. Amen. Even more so. Got to prepare. Amen. Got to prepare my heart. Worshiping Him is what is important. Enjoying the relationship with Him is what is important. Enjoying the fact that we are a child of God and enjoying that peace and joy that comes from His abiding presence with us is what's important. But so many of us, there are days where we relegate God and worshiping Him as an afterthought. We're just too busy. Our lives are overloaded. We're overloaded with commitments. We've overloaded ourselves and committed our children to take part in so many things that we eventually find ourselves exhausted. Amen. So what's the answer? It's found in the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. You know, when most of us were growing up, sports and things were only done during the week and on Saturdays. Now there's soccer year-round, and basketball year-round, and baseball year-round, and softball year-round, and they're on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings and everything else. And parents are so caught up in that they won't dare miss a practice, or they won't dare miss that because little Johnny's going to be the next Michael Jordan or the next Ronaldo or whatever. The most important thing you don't want your kids to miss out on is knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're too busy to take yourself and your kids to church, you're too busy. You need to get a hold of some of the stuff I'm going to be sharing here in a few minutes and make some changes. Yes. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 18. Now in the morning when he returned to the city, he became hungry. Speaking of Jesus here. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Jesus curses this barren fig tree and it shrivels up and dies. So why did Jesus do that? Because it wasn't producing any fruit like it should have been. All of us have some fig trees in our lives that are barren. Things that waste our time. Things that waste our energy. I'm not talking about things that you do that refresh you, that calm you down, that help you clear your mind. I'm talking about those things that you mindlessly do that consume a great deal of your time, but they're not producing any fruit in your life. Things that are not helping you get to the place you want to be in your relationship with God, in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your children, in the context of improving the opportunity set before us. Cursing the barren fig tree is identifying the things that waste your time. It's redeeming the time. It's saving time the same way you save money. That's good stewardship. Faithfulness is fruitfulness. That's one of the changes we can make in our lives if we want to win the day. If you want to flip the script, you've got to start doing things differently. Choose something that you can cut out of your schedule that may be a drain on your time. Do it for a day. Then do it for two. Maybe it's reducing the amount of time you watch TV by a few minutes a day. Amen? We often project or relate the amount of time we spend with people to develop a relationship as the same amount of time it takes to develop a relationship with God. But there are those God moments where He can drop something into your spirit as you read His word or as you pray that takes seconds. And it radically changes your knowledge of Him, your relationship with Him, your perception of yourself and of God. Amen? Those moments, those Empire State moments, when you experience forgiveness or acceptance or love, strength, peace, as it flows over you and through you, it can happen instantaneously. And you can experience a God moment. Amen? He's the God of the present. Remember? He is the I am. We have to make the most of every opportunity that presents itself when we experience those moments. Amen? I mean, Chuck had a God moment last week. Amen? Hopefully some of you others had a God moment. The thing is, you don't find time, you make time. Well, when I find time, I'll do this. You're never going to do it. All of us are allotted the same amount of seconds every minute, and the same amount of minutes every hour, and the same amount of hours every day. You don't find time to read your Bible, you make time. You don't find time to pray, you make time. You don't find time to listen to podcasts that'll help you grow, you make time. You don't find time for your family, you make time. Amen. You make time by establishing boundaries. And you establish those boundaries by making pre-decisions. It's as simple as doing the math. The whole concept behind this message series is, remember, can you do something? Can you do it for a day? And if you do it for a day, then do it the next day. And then you do it the next day, and you get on a winning streak. Amen? So, say, well, it's overwhelming when you start thinking about things. You have to break it down. Maybe there's a book that you've been wanting to read. It's 300 pages long. I'm just never going to find time to read that book. If you break it down, make it simple. Read 10 pages a day, and you can read that book in a month. And if you do that, every month you can read 12 books in a year. When's the last time you read 12 books in a year? Maybe never. Right? Or maybe you want to read your Bible through in a year. And you're like, wow, that's just overwhelming. There's 66 books there. The average Bible with standard font is 1,200 pages long. And when you hear that, you're like, 1,200 pages long. I could never do that. Well, can you read 3 1/3 pages in a day? If you read 3 1/3 pages a day, every day of the year, you will read through that Bible. Doesn't sound so challenging at 3 1/3 pages, right? Well, man, I can. It's 1, 2, 3. I can do that, right? I can pray on my way to work. I can pray when I get up for 5 minutes. I can pray for 10 minutes. We always say, well, if I got to pray for an hour, it's not going to do any good. No. Some of the best prayer times you can ever have is short and sweet. Amen? Especially some of the best times you can have, it's not about quantity in reading the Word. It's about quality. And if you just take your time and read through those 3 pages and say, ooh, something jumps out at you, and you kind of look over, and if you got a cross-reference in your Bible, you know, I mean, many of you have seen my Bible. I've got notes in there. I've written all over it. That's sacrilege writing in your Bible. Well, then I've committed sacrilege, I guess. But my Bible's full of notes. It's a book. It's your book. Write in it. And when, oh, wow, that scripture goes with that scripture I read the other day. Well, write it in there, because the next time you read it, it'll remind you of that. Amen? Just train yourself. Get all those things in there. I've had this Bible probably 20 years. There's 20 years or more of notes in there. Amen? It's my cheat sheet. I go in there and, oh yeah, where's that scripture at? And then I know where one scripture's at. Oh, I've got 15 of them listed there that goes with that scripture. And you all thought I had them memorized. Right? Just letting you, just be open. You can learn it. Amen? And then you will memorize it and you will know. But you can do that. 3 1/3 pages. When that day. You got to start somewhere. If that's your goal, it doesn't matter if so. Well, I got to start in Genesis. Don't start in Genesis. You'll never make it through Exodus. You will take an exit. You'll Exodus right out of reading the Bible. Amen. Just start reading in Romans. Start reading in the book of Acts and read through the New Testament. Take your time, and then go and read the minor prophets. And then read the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And then maybe venture over to Isaiah. Don't read Jeremiah. You'll just get depressed. Amen? Just read. But get in there and just win that day. Amen? You can apply it to every area of your life. You can reverse engineer your goals and calculate where you want to be. You manage the minutes, and then you create time for those moments, because you're not always so busy. Amen? Say, well, I'm going to spend this much time doing this. I'm going to spend this much time doing that. In Ephesians 5:16, we read it earlier, where it says, redeeming the time. The word used in Ephesians 5:16 for the word time is the word kairos. It's translated 2 different ways. It's a set or proper time or an occasion or an opportunity. It's not only used of chronological time, it's used for those top of the Empire State Building moments. Amen? We have to make time for those wow moments to occur in our life. Managing those moments doesn't come easy for some of us. We're so regimented in our thinking, in our schedule, just like Martha was. She was busy. What she was doing wasn't bad. But what Mary was doing was so much better. Amen? If we're so busy, so wrapped up in our schedule, we will miss those holy moments, those God moments that He wants to have with us. When we set those boundaries, we will open up opportunities for ourselves to pay much closer attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's recognizing holy moments and sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking up every moment and every minute of His presence. Those are the things where you can say that I've really lived. Not how long you've been alive. How long have you lived? It doesn't matter how old you are. God still has a bunch of God moments left for you. Amen. We just need to tap into them. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank You, Lord, that You are the God of the present, that You're always with us, Lord. Your word says You will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I just thank You and praise You that this message today will just stir us to cultivate that time where we can experience those moments just basking in Your presence, spending time with You, allowing You just to pour into our spirit those things that You want to share with us. And Father, I thank You and praise You for just ministering to each and every one of us, showing us those areas where we can set those boundaries, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us some changes that we can make, where we can win the day. Lord, where we can wind the clock because of those moments that we spent with You. Father, we thank You for that. Praise You for that. And Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this week, that we will just be more sensitive to Your voice than we ever have. Maybe when we're just doing those mindless, idle things, that the message today will come to our minds, Lord, and we'll just spend some moments reflecting on You, reflecting on Your goodness, reflecting on Your power and Your presence and all the things that You are. Just thank You for that, Lord. And Father God, I just pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, You'll just be with us in every aspect, watching over us and protecting us, guiding us and directing us. And Lord, we just thank You and praise You for that. Just thank You that every household, that every need that's represented here today is met, Father. And we just give You all the praise and we give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.